My girls are 14 and 16, and back in the day when they were born, it was not easy to share photos and videos with loved ones. But now you have a fantastic option available, the Family Album app. The Family Album app was created in 2015 and has operated over the long term to give parents a secure and easy way to share photos and videos with loved ones. It's a totally secure personal haven for your family's memories. I love that it's private with no unwanted eyes. Now let me share some of the great features that make Family Album a go-to app. First off, the app automatically sorts photos and videos by month, allowing you to swipe back in time and see how your child has grown. No more scrolling through endless feeds or searching through folders. Another cool feature of the Family Album app that I love is that you can order 11 free photo prints every month to be delivered to your home starting in August. It's really nice to have some tangible pictures to hold onto or share to document each month of your baby's life. Plus, the Family Album app has unlimited storage and it is totally free. Yes, you heard that right. No more worrying about running out of space when you're just trying to relive those heartwarming moments. So if you're still trying to use other messaging apps for your kids' photos, it is time to level up your family photo game with a free photo sharing app. Head over to the App Store today, search Family Album, it's all one word, download the app, and start creating a legacy of love one photo at a time. Is it possible to have a smooth elective labor induction? Why, yes, yes it is. You're going to hear all about it in this birth story episode with Jenny. Welcome to the All About Pregnancy and Birth podcast. If you're having a baby in the hospital, you are giving birth in a system that too often takes away power from women over what happens in their own bodies. I'm Dr. Nicole Calloway Rankins, a practicing board certified OBGYN who's had the privilege of helping well over 1,000 babies into this world. I've been a doctor for over 20 years, and I'm here to help you take back your power, advocate for yourself, and have the beautiful pregnancy and birth that you deserve. This podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not a substitute for medical advice. Check out the full disclaimer at drnicolerankins.com/disclaimer. Now let's get to it. Hello there. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. This is episode number 270. Whether it is your first time listening or you have listened before, I am so glad you're spending some time with me today. Jenny had an elective induction, meaning she chose to get induced, and her induction was, quote, an actual dream and went so smooth. Now, even though her induction went great, Jenny still had some challenges about her experience during her pregnancy. She had prenatal depression that began at 6 weeks and continued throughout her pregnancy and even a bit postpartum. Also, she had many people in her community who were pregnant and giving birth at the same time, and they experienced some serious complications, including miscarriage, preeclampsia, premature birth, a shoulder dystocia, where someone's baby had a broken clavicle, and then even a stillbirth. All of this happened while she was pregnant. So all of these quote-unquote rare complications happening during her pregnancy understandably made her really anxious during her pregnancy, and she's going to share how she managed that in the episode. She really came to realize that pregnancy and birth doesn't happen in silos. We can be deeply impacted by the things that happen in our community, and it can be challenging to hold both joy for yourself and sorrow for others at the same time. This is a really insightful episode in terms of the gamut of experiences that can happen during pregnancy and birth, and I know you're going to learn a lot from it. You will also learn a lot from coming to join me in my free live class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. In this class, you will learn how to make a birth plan that actually works to help you have the birth that you want, because those templates and forms that you get online, they do not cut it. Come join me in my free live class. Everybody loves it. Register for it at drnicolerankins.com/birth plan. And at the end of the class, I stay and I do office hours Q&A where I answer any questions you have about pregnancy and birth. So I would love to see you in the next live class. All right, let's get into the birth story episode with Jenny. Thank you so much, Jenny, for agreeing to come onto the podcast. I am excited to have you share your birth story today.
Thank you. I'm really excited to share today.
Yeah. So why don't you tell us a bit about yourself and your family?
So I am born and raised in Texas, still live here now, love it. I am actually a pediatric audiologist, so I spend my days helping children and families who can't, who are deaf or hard of hearing.
Okay.
And so I love my job. And then I live with my husband and our dog Caboose and our almost eight month old baby.
Okay. All right. I love it. Isn't it like crazy hot in Texas?
Oh, it is. Yes. It's very hot. And honestly, I think that's part of my, being pregnant in like August in Texas. I think it's like already in the hundreds now. And it's like, what, June?
Okay. All right. That's a lot. Well, I'm glad you still love it anyway. And I'm glad you also love your work. I'm sure it's very rewarding to do what you do.
Yes, it is. It's hard, right? Some hard stories, but overall, it's like a great job.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into your pregnancy and prenatal care, because in order to understand the birth, we got to understand a little bit about your pregnancy. So first, tell us, what was your pregnancy like for you? What was your prenatal care like for you?
Yeah. So I honestly hated being pregnant. I was not a happy pregnant person.
Same.
But overall it was good. I had a lot of the similar symptoms in your first trimester. I had nausea and like fatigue going on. Mm-hmm. I did also have some, I think it's called subchorionic hemorrhaging.
Oh yeah.
My first trimester around like, I had two different episodes. And so after the second one, they were like, "Ooh, let's get you in for like a reassurance scan."
Sure.
That was around 10 weeks and everything was fine. And they don't know why it happens, I guess.
We don't know.
Yeah. But they were like, you can have a happy, healthy pregnancy, afterwards. And so everything was pretty good up until that point. One of my biggest symptoms in pregnancy that started about 6 weeks and went through was I had prenatal depression, which I didn't know was a thing. I'd heard of like postpartum, aware of those symptoms.
Right.
But apparently your hormones can change so much that it happens in your pregnancy.
Uh-huh.
And so I didn't really feel sad. That's not how I would describe it. But I felt like a shell of myself throughout my pregnancy. If I could describe it, I was like, hey, if you have a picture and it's 100% color, my life, I felt like I was showing up at like 20% color or 30% color.
Wow.
And we had like, I think different days were worse than others, but like throughout my pregnancy, I was like, I just don't feel like myself.
Right.
And I think that that made it challenging. We'll get into like all the other hiccups throughout my pregnancy, but like, I think that made it really challenging. If I started off at a place of like, low of just being really, really low, throughout my pregnancy.
Sure. Okay. Did you talk to your doctor about it at all?
I did. And I think she gave me like really great advice. She told me, she said like, hey, figure out, control your controllables, right? If you know that like getting as much sleep as you can, eating like well-rounded, getting exercise when you can, taking a break, resting, doing social things, all the things that make you feel better, do those things. Right. And then she was like, if you have a counselor, you should go see one. And I already had a counselor set up. So I went and saw her and throughout my pregnancy, and that was really helpful. I never had to see a psychiatrist or have medication. But I did use some other resources to help support me during that time.
Gotcha. Okay. And when you, the practice you were you seeing like the same physician all the time, or was it different physicians, or how did that work?
Yeah. So I just went to my gynecologist that I had once I became pregnant. It was a private practice. I think there are like five, six different doctors there. Okay. But I saw the same physician throughout all of my care.
Okay.
And then they gave me a note of, hey, you know, whenever you give birth, like the doctor, whoever is on call, like that's going to who's going to show up at the hospital.
Okay.
And so they were like, any of our physicians could like birth your baby, but like your care will be funneled primarily through your previous physician.
In my family, we prioritize sitting down and having dinner together every single night. But finding the time to plan meals, do the shopping, and cook from scratch can feel overwhelming. That is where Gobble comes in. Gobble is a meal kit delivery service where each week you can choose from their rotating menu of over 18 gourmet meals. You can mix and match from classic recipes, lean and clean recipes, and vegetarian options, and Gobble will deliver them right to your door. We recently had a Gobble meal of Baja-style fish tacos with green goddess cabbage slaw and spiced black beans. Hear me when I say it was delicious. And that's because Gobble menus are designed by professional chefs. You'll experience a huge range of global flavors and fun gourmet ingredients that make you feel like a pro chef without making a single trip to the store. The meal was super easy to come together because most of their meals only take about 20 minutes. And did I mention how good the chocolate chip cookies were for dessert? See what a difference Gobble will make for your household. Right now, they're offering my listeners a fantastic limited time deal. Get $120 off across four boxes, plus free shipping and free cookies. Go to gobble.com/Dr. Nicole. That's gobble.com/Dr. Nicole today. This offer is not available on their home site, so don't miss out. And then, so you also had the unique circumstance of you had, while you were pregnant, friends who, and correct me if I'm getting all of this right, who experienced infertility, having to go through IVF, miscarriage, preeclampsia, premature birth, being in the NICU, a shoulder dystocia with the baby had a broken clavicle and a stillbirth.
Yes.
You know people who had all of those things during, while you were pregnant.
Yes, I did. And I think that's one of the things we don't give birth in like bubbles, right? I'm not just here in myself. And I think it's really easy to dismiss a lot of stories like that you see online, or that like, oh yeah, my great aunt told me that she knew someone who this crazy thing happened to.
Right.
But yes, I think there's beauty in community and being able to like bear each other's burdens.
Right.
But whoo, that was a lot that happened from the time. Yes. I had a positive test the time that my baby was born, particularly the stillbirth. So like everything else I could like kind of grapple with and kind of, what's the word? Like cope with fairly well and be like, hey, you know what? It's really hard. People are okay. Everybody's okay. But the stillbirth, like she was my roommate in college for 5 years. Like her husband was the best man at our wedding. And so,
oh my God,
we like walked alongside our dear, dear friends as they're going through this tragedy. There's nothing else I can call it. It was horrific. There's nothing quite like it. I feel like, that I've experienced at least. And all the time, like we got the news when I was 15 weeks pregnant there's this looming sense of, I think we had a little bit of assurance. I think we had a little bit, hey, we made it through the first 12 weeks. Like miscarriage chances are significantly lower. Like this is going to happen. And that confidence was just gone. And our language and mindset and outlook turned from, hey, we're going to have a baby, to I hope we have a baby. to like, I think we're having a baby.
Right. Right.
And there's no, like, there was no signs. Right. And I think that's one of the things with pregnancy that they say, you know, like it's unpredictable.
Yeah.
There are chances, but there's not like formulas for success. Yeah. And I think just we had to sit there and grapple with like, okay, well, we are just going to have to take this one day at a time, mm-hmm. right? Baby is here today. Mm-hmm. We are here today. Mm-hmm. And we're going to walk into the next step and just kind of, I don't know, I think we just held our breath for the next, you know, several months until everything was okay.
Right, right.
And so I think grappling with that on top of feeling like so low already to begin with, because that started around like 6 weeks of pregnancy, because mm-hmm. That was all before. And so I think just everything all together just made for a really hard, low, long, hot. It was summer, hot season of my life.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I think one of the things you said when you wrote in, like you said, is like you don't give birth in silos, and then all of a sudden you hear things are rare, but then it's not anymore when someone you know experiences it.
Yes.
And it just changes your whole relationship to it.
Yes. Statistics turned from numbers to people and faces that I love, right? Yes. Names that I love, a baby that I thought was supposed to grow up with my son, right?
Right.
That's just really hard to kind of, it's sobering. I think sobering is the appropriate word.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So then how did that change, or did it change what you did to prepare for birth? What did you do to prepare?
Yeah. So I, I'm a preparer. So about a year before we even started to think about having kids, I was like, I don't know anything about birth.
Right.
We're going to learn.
Okay.
So I found your podcast, and I had listened to most of your library, all of your library, which was really great. And then I also, there was another podcast I listened to called Is It Normal, which is done out in England. So it's a different model.
Okay.
But it's not medical necessarily. It's very light. There are some medical pieces. They have like midwives come on, and they have like OB-GYNs come on.
Okay.
But it's more, I don't know, more just like, hey, this is what you can typically expect. This should be like what is normal.
Okay.
And so I found that to be really helpful. I also found, I also did your birth prep course. When my friend she had PPROM, she had her baby about 5 weeks early. Uh-huh. She went into labor, and I told my husband, I was like, Erin, we haven't started this. We need to start this today.
Right.
What if we don't have as much time as we think we do? So we did your birth course, and that was fantastic. I was a big fan. One of the things that did change like along the course before my friend had her stillbirth, I remember thinking like, as long as I'm not induced, like everything's going to be fine. I just didn't want to be induced.
Okay.
I wanted to go into labor spontaneously. Mm-hmm. I had it in my head of if I am not induced, if my body is already like getting with this process, it's feeling like it can do it, then my labor will be smooth. I won't need a C-section. That was what I had created in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's necessarily true or have any stats behind it, but that was my like brain formula.
Sure.
Because I was like, the worst thing that could happen would be I'm induced.
Right.
And then my friend's stillbirth happened, and I was like, no, there are other things that I want to avoid. And so that was like the big shift in my birth plan, because I went from, no, we're going to be spontaneous birth, to, no, I really think I'm going to elect to get an induction.
Okay.
Yeah.
How far along was your friend when she had her stillbirth, if you don't mind me asking?
She was 41 in 2 days.
Okay.
She was like a little bit over. She had a beautiful non-stress test at 40. And then at 40 in 2, she felt him in the morning. She did her kick counts that night, and baby was gone by that point.
Okay. Oh my gosh. So I can see how that would change, and you decide like, when I can get this baby here safely, I want to get this baby here safely.
Yeah. I think my body no longer felt safe them after that event.
Got it.
And so I was like, I think I debated between like, should I do 40 or should I do 39? Mm-hmm. And I went back and forth, but I was like, as soon as baby can get here, we're just going to do
it. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Was there anything else that you wanted for your birth? You decided that you wanted the induction. Was there anything else that you decided on?
So I wanted like, you know, immediate skin to skin. I wanted a delayed cord clamping. We didn't know if our baby was a boy or a girl.
Oh, surprises are so fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. And so I wanted my husband to like announce if it, like, whether it was a boy or a girl. It was a boy, surprise. Which was wonderful. And we had music playing in the background. I had like Christmas lights set up in the room. On my birth wishes that I had, I work for a major hospital system in Texas. And so, and it's a children's hospital, and our NICU is in my network, but other NICUs are not in my network. And so on my birth plan, like in bold, I was like, if we need a NICU stay, you need to transfer them to my hospital. Like, that was very big on my birth plan. Okay. And then if I couldn't do skin to skin, I wanted my husband to do skin to skin. But all of that was like really standard practice at my hospital. So I was telling people and they're like, oh yeah, we always do that. I was like, okay, great.
Good. Yeah, that's always reassuring. And one of the things that like is the importance of discussing it ahead of time. It just gives you that reassurance that everybody's on the same page.
Yeah. My doctor was really good.
Yeah. And what were things that you were afraid of about giving birth? I'm sure the possibility of stillbirth, obviously, but what besides that, what are other things that you were afraid of?
You know, honestly, that was kind of the big one was like, hey, we just want baby here. We want me here and we want baby here. After that, I kind of threw out all my other preferences. I wanted to feel like things weren't happening to me. I wanted to be a part of the discussion. Right. I didn't want things to feel chaotic and out of control if preventable. But really that was about it that I wanted. My baby was due around Halloween and I really didn't want his birthday to be on Halloween.
Gotcha.
I don't think that was a fear, but that was like number two priority if we can prevent it.
You're like, if I could choose, maybe not Halloween.
I have a holiday birthday and don't love it. And so I was like, if I can prevent this from my child, then I will.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So then what was your induction and labor and birth like? Let's talk through that.
Yeah, it was a dream. I loved it.
Oh.
Yeah, I realized spontaneity, not for me.
Okay.
So we went ahead, we scheduled my induction around 37 weeks is when we decided to schedule it. So we scheduled it for like 39 and 4.
Okay.
It would have been 39 probably on the dot, except we were trying to avoid Halloween. And she was like, if you go really long, if it takes a long time, I don't want that to happen to you. And so we went into the hospital like the night of Halloween to have our son.
Okay.
The day before was my last OB appointment, and she was able to like sweep my membranes to kind of help things get moving maybe. And so we did that. I didn't necessarily feel that different until about 12-ish hours later. And then I got really, really sick. They said it's the hormones can fluctuate and that can make you
maybe
nauseous.
I don't know.
So we went in. It was like checking into a hotel though. We go up to the floor and it's like all quiet because no one wants to have a baby on Halloween. So we're the only ones who are there. The nurses knew we were coming. They were like, here's your room. It was like so peaceful. We went in at 4 and they started me on, I think, Cytotec. It was an oral pill.
Yeah.
I don't remember that much. They started me on that. And they were like, we're going to take this dose every 4 hours.
Okay.
And I have like all the monitors on me. My husband was very nervous about the sleeping situation for him. Once we got there and he saw that, he was like, oh, I have like kind of like a sofa bed thing.
Yeah.
He felt much more comfortable.
Right.
But he was a little nervous at first getting in. And then, and I don't know, I went into it with the mindset of like, if I get more sleep than I do on an overnight flight, then I'm calling it a win.
Okay.
And it was more comfortable than like an overnight flight. So I thought it was pretty good.
Right.
So when I got in there, I was at a really great Bishop score of a 3.
Okay.
for the beginning. Mm-hmm. My nurses were always so positive. They're like, hey, if we're not seeing a lot of like dilation in the beginning, like we're looking for more like the cervical ripening. She said something about like baby going down and something turning. And as long as we have that progressing, like we're not worried if like you're a one now and I check you in 4 hours and you're still a one.
Right.
And so that was good. There was progress at every 4 steps. I could eat that night and then they let me eat breakfast in the morning.
Okay.
And then after I think it was like 8 in the morning the next day, they did a check and was like, okay, we don't need to do another round of cytotech. We can start you on Pitocin.
Okay.
At that point, I hadn't had any like pain management because I wasn't really experiencing pain at that point.
Right.
You could see contractions on the graph, but like I wasn't necessarily feeling them at that point.
Gotcha.
And so they started the Pitocin and my sweet nurse, she was like, hey, the Pitocin ramps up really fast. And so if you want an epidural, just know that like you have to be still for an epidural. The Pitocin ramps up the contractions and it can be hard to stay still.
Okay.
And so I knew I wanted to experience the contraction and then I knew I wanted to get the epidural.
Okay.
Because that was toughing it out or... It's not for me.
Gotcha.
It's not for me.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I've heard that if you want a unmedicated birth, you have to want it, and I didn't.
Okay.
And so I was like, I'm gonna peace out.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we started the Pitocin at like 9 a.m, and I think I got my epidural around 12:30 in the morning.
Okay.
So a few hours after.
Right.
They were very correct. It ramped up. I was like playing cards. I was like, this is fine. I have like little cramps. Right. I'm just going to play my cards. Right. And I didn't even finish my game. I was like, okay, I'm ready. Yeah. We can get this show on the road.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So we started the Pitocin. And at that point, I'm pretty sure I took a nap for the next 5-ish hours.
Okay. You mean after you got the epidural?
After I got the epidural. I got the epidural.
Yeah.
I was much more groggy than I thought I would be with the epidural. I could not, like, having a baby didn't make sense to me, but getting a milkshake after made sense to me. And so I was just like thinking about a milkshake while I'm sleeping.
Right. That is so interesting.
Yeah. I felt very kind of woozy. And I don't know. They had told, I had never had a baby before. So I couldn't really understand, like, they say I'm going to have a baby, but I don't have this experience to like check in to see what's going to be like. And so I was just like, well, afterwards I can get a milkshake. So I was just thinking about a milkshake the whole time. It was not conceptualizing that I was about to have a baby.
Really? That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I swear I learned something new every time about people's experience of things. All right. Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I forgot to ask, do you remember how dilated you were when you got the epidural?
Oh, I was probably, I think I was like almost a 4.
Okay.
I think they could say like we could stretch you to a 4.
Okay.
So,
okay.
I had progressed a fair amount by the time we got there. While I was like napping, she used the peanut ball.
Yep.
Between, like the nurse brought the peanut ball in between my legs and kind of went back and forth. And about 5 o'clock, the nurse came in and checked me. So it had been like 5 hours on Pitocin.
Yep.
And she's like, yep, we're at a 10. We're about to start pushing. It just like went. So I was like, milkshake time. And I was like, oh, wait, what's happening? I have to work now?
All right. Has your water broken at all?
They broke my water. Oh, yeah, that happened. They broke my water. It was after I got my epidural, maybe about like 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock, something like that. Because I passed out real hard in between like some of those hours. But they did break it themselves.
So then she comes in and it's like, okay, it's time to push. And you're like, okay.
So we start moving around to push. She had me push on my side for most of the time. Also, she comes in, she's like, we're going to do practice pushes. I don't know the difference between practice pushes and real pushes. I feel like we're just using some lingo.
That is a great point, because we say practice push, and what we mean by that is that we just want to see how kind of like it goes, to see if like we wait a little bit longer or do we stop. That is interesting. That see, this is an example of like, we know what we mean, but we didn't probably explain that. You're like, what is practice versus real push versus, yeah.
Right. I was like, I'm just
going to push.
I'm still
pushing.
I feel like this is it doing the same thing? Yes. And so at this time, like the whole time we had like the lights on that are all Christmassy, and like we had like this soft piano music playing, and I was having a really hard time like waking up enough to start like participating more. So I had my husband like change the music from the piano to like Taylor Swift 1989.
There you go. Okay.
We needed something a little bit more upbeat. She had just dropped that album that she re-released. And I was like, this is what we need. And my nurses love Taylor Swift. And so they were like all into it, which was really fun.
Okay. Your room was probably the best. They were like, this is a great room to be in.
They also, I got really nauseous in the first like few minutes of pushing. I got really nauseous, and then I ended up throwing up a little bit. But then I like woke up after that. I was like super hazy before and like not really into it. And then I was like, okay, no, I'm here, and I'm here for the pushing.
I know it can be stressful wondering about prenatals and whether or not they have all the right ingredients. Well, Ritual takes all the guesswork out of prenatals. Their essential prenatal builds key nutrient levels to support a healthy pregnancy. It includes methylated folate and nature identical choline to support baby's neural tube development. There's omega-3 DHA for brain and early vision development support. And there's vitamin D to support fetal bone health. And as someone who looks at research, I love that Ritual's essential prenatal is backed by science. I also love that all lots are third-party tested for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. You deserve to know exactly what you're putting into your body, especially when it comes to prenatal multivitamins. And with Ritual's dedication to traceable science and sourcing, you always will. See for yourself with 25% off your first month at ritual.com/Dr. Nicole. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women Prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/Dr. Nicole for 25% off.
So yeah, we pushed for about an hour and a half-ish.
For first baby, yeah.
For first
That's
baby.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So we pushed for about, an hour and a half. And then we got to a point, she was like, okay, we'll do one more practice push, and then we'll like bring the doctor in. And the whole time I wanted like a progress bar to show me, like, because everyone's telling me, you're doing so great. Mm-hmm. You're doing so great. And like, I don't think you would tell me if I was doing bad, but I want to know, like, are we close to baby being here? Do I have another few hours of this? And like, I guess they might not know, but I was like, if I could just like visualize like where am I on this journey? That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. So she was like, we're going to do one more practice push, and then I'm going to go page the doctor to come in to have like the final push and have baby here. And so we start to do that last push, and she's like, oh my gosh, stop.
Okay.
Baby is coming. We need to get the doctor. And so now we're like going through the contractions. And by this point with my epidural, I could, I couldn't feel pain, but I could feel when the contraction was happening.
Okay.
And so, and I would have like, I don't know, the urge to push or something like that. And she was like, okay, so kind of just like breathe in like short breaths a little bit while it's happening, so you don't accidentally like have baby born with doctor not here. And so we did that for like 3 minutes, and then my doctor comes in and she's like getting all her stuff on.
Right.
And then we set up and baby was born. My husband told me it was a boy. And then immediately on my chest, which was amazing. He was big. No one knew he was going to be that big. He was 9 pounds, 2 ounces.
Okay.
And no one, like my doctor didn't know he was going to be that big.
And I
didn't know. And like the nurse was like, how much do you think he weighs? And I was like, oh, we're going to guess like 7 pounds. And she laughed at us. Like, she was like, no, homeboy is hefty.
It's cheesy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like no newborn clothes for him.
Oh, yeah. It was like a week. And I was like, well, these are done. We're all done with these.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so he was on my chest. We did golden hour, which was amazing. He breastfed a little bit. I don't think he left me for almost 3 hours. They like let him sleep on me for that long.
Yeah.
Which was like amazing. It was so good.
So he stayed with you. They came to check on him in the room and did anything they needed to do with him there. Perfect. Yeah. That's how it should be. Yeah. And did you have to get any stitches or anything?
I did. I had a second degree tear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty common after. Yeah.
I would. Yeah. Yeah. I would take, I will say postpartum recovery, like hit me hard. I was, I just did not have any expectation for like, oh yeah, you're not really going to be able to walk to your room very well. Like they're going to have to wheel you to the car. And I was like, are they? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 That's one of the things we're very much like, especially if you have an epidural, we're like, don't get up, don't get up, don't get up, because you might pass out after birth if you get up too soon or those kinds of things.
So, I remember they had me, like when I was sitting on the bed after I had him, they hadn't moved me to recovery. I was like, I'm feeling really good right now. My epidural had not fully worn off. I was like, this is amazing. Let's go home. We have our baby, this is great. And they're like, okay, so stand up and go to the bathroom. And I stood up and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No. I can never leave. Yeah. Never leave.
Oh my goodness. So then how was the rest of the postpartum period like for you with breastfeeding? And also, did you have any issues with depression at all?
Yeah. So breastfeeding, thankfully, breastfeeding was really, really smooth. I took courses beforehand through Aeroflow. Okay. Uh-huh. That was through my insurance. Uh-huh. They're fantastic.
Okay.
And I had a huge support of people who I could reach out to with issues and problems, but baby ate super great the whole time. He was a big kid, so he had, he was never at like a risk of like losing a, he could sleep really well. And so that breastfeeding all went well. And like, I felt infinitely better after having a baby and like both physically and mood wise. Like, I was like, wow, I feel like a new person.
Right.
But the further away I got from postpartum, the more I look back and I think, oh, I wasn't doing so great. I was doing better, better than I had in a long time, but I wasn't doing great. And that is still happening. Like even today, I'm almost 8 months past like post.
Right.
And I look back to about like mid May or like even end of like beginning of this month. And I was like, oh, I thought I was okay and I wasn't quite, but I'm doing better now than I was. Okay. And so I think there's just some more progression of like mood. I will say there was a big shift around 4.5 months postpartum where I noticed like a big change in myself, but there was definitely some harder times. I think I chalked up to like, you just had a baby and your hormones are all over the place. And also it's Christmas and also it's Thanksgiving. And
Okay.
And actually, I was not actually okay.
Okay. Did you continue to see your therapist?
I did. I had a few sessions with her, mostly like telepractice-y. Previously, I'd gone in and I had a few sessions with her. It was just hard to do anything with a newborn.
Yeah.
I will say I stand with like American maternity leave is not great in the U.S. It's
trash.
Like
it's
the support we get is the support we get is horrendous. For me personally, going back to work was an anchor in my life of like, this is something that is consistent. This is something that is familiar. This is something that I can step into and kind of put on who I was before and feel a little bit more like myself.
Gotcha.
I don't think that's everybody's story, but it was very helpful for me to kind of like take a break, have a breather and kind of remember who I was before.
Sure. Sure. And at what point did you go back to work?
I went back at 12 weeks. So I took 12 weeks off and my husband got 16 weeks of paid paternity leave, which is I was like, you didn't put the watermelon.
Wow.
Which was amazing.
It's amazing. Awesome that his company supports that.
So great. Big fans. So I think that made the transition easier because I wasn't leaving my newborn with someone I didn't know.
Sure.
That my first day of work. Mm-hmm. I was leaving him with my husband, mm-hmm. Which made it better.
So did you all kind of stagger your, like do a little bit together and then and then he took some later, or how did that work?
We took all of it together. Okay. And then he just went back to work about 4 weeks after I did.
Oh, got it. Okay.
We thought about staggering it for a hot moment, but we figured at this point with our first kid, we want both hands on deck since we don't know what we're doing.
Sure.
And also it was like, this is like a fun time that we get to spend together as we like welcome our newborn
home.
That's true. And it was a good fit for us because I think that that month when I was at work and he was at home, that was like a weird transition to move through.
Okay. All right. So then how do you feel overall about your birth experience?
Yeah. So my actual birth experience, 10 out of 10 stars. Like I loved every doctor I interacted with was amazing. Every nurse was like so fun and so caring and so sweet. I loved the birth process was really good. The everything before and everything after less enjoyable.
Gotcha.
But the actual, I think for someone who initially thought the worst thing I could do is be induced and then to end up with an induction and to have such a positive experience.
Sure.
I was a big fan.
Okay. Okay. And then, so then as we wrap up, what is your one favorite piece of advice that you would tell somebody who's about to have a baby?
I think, golly, I feel like there's so much between like just getting education.
Or if you have a couple, sure, go for it. Yeah.
I mean, I think like getting education and being informed is really important, but I think just kind of like identifying what you need and trying to treat that as opposed to kind of like thinking like imposing someone else's health and cares and concerns on yourself. I think that's the biggest thing. Because my pregnancy looked really different than all my friends' pregnancies, but I had my own difficulties and struggles, and those were the things that I had to address. And that was, I think, most beneficial for me throughout was like, not everybody wants to be induced at 39 weeks, but I do, and that's okay. And not everybody wants to has to go do this other thing, but they might need to, and that's okay. And so I think that would be my biggest piece of advice.
Gotcha. Gotcha. I love that. So where can women connect with you? You can say nowhere. Yeah. It's totally optional.
Not really anywhere, but you can listen to this podcast again.
Yeah. That's a smart move. Yeah. Yes. I don't blame you. All right. Well, thank you so much for agreeing to come onto the podcast and share your story. I really, really appreciate it. It was so helpful.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to share.
All right. Wasn't that a great episode? I so appreciate Jenny coming on to share her story. And after every episode, when I have a guest on, I do something called Dr. Nicole's Notes, where I talk about my top takeaways from the conversation. And I have several Dr. Nicole's Notes from my conversation with Jenny. Number one, it is okay to choose a labor induction. There's a lot of talk sometimes on social media about you shouldn't be induced, but really it is a personal choice about what works best for you. If you want to be induced, as long as you understand the things that go into labor induction, that is totally fine. It is a personal decision and one that you have to make for yourself. Number two, I really appreciate how Jenny said that going back to work helped her feel more like herself. This is totally normal. There's often, again, on social media, this perception or pushing that, you know, you have a baby and you never want to go back to work. And maybe that's the case. There are certainly some people who don't want to go back to their work environment after having a baby. But it's also okay if you want to go back to work, if you want to get back into activities that you were doing before you became a mother. Yes, that can help you feel more like yourself. That is completely normal. Just because you don't necessarily want to stay at home with your baby all the time doesn't make you a bad mother. There's a range of how people can show up in motherhood and how they can make it work to fit within their lives and who they were as a person before they became a mother. So It is totally normal if you feel like going back to work can help you feel more like yourself after having a baby. Okay, number three is that it can be helpful to change up the energy surrounding your labor. Sometimes calm and peaceful doesn't cut it. Jenny went from piano music to Taylor Swift 1989. Sometimes you need to just change the energy, the mood in the room. Calm doesn't do it. Sometimes it needs to be anger. Sometimes it may need to be cursing or yelling, but you may need to flip up the energy. Not all birth is calm and peaceful. Sometimes it just needs to have a different energy in order to happen. Now, I will say what's important for all birth, though, is a positive energy, even if it's not calm, even if it has a little anger in it. It needs to be positive. She had positive nurses. She had positive doctors. The lights, the sounds in the room, all of those things were important to create a positive energy around the birth. That is very, very important. Okay, next couple of things. Prenatal depression can happen. We don't talk about it a lot. We talk a lot about postpartum depression, which is important, and I think people have more of an awareness of it, but people can be susceptible to having depression that happens during pregnancy. So do be on the lookout for that and get the help that you need, because in order to have a healthy baby, you gotta have a healthy mom. So take care of yourself. If you're worried about depression, then seek help. And then the final thing I want to say is that sadly, sometimes bad things happen in pregnancy and it's not anybody's fault. Nature is not always kind. Her friend had a stillbirth at just over 41 weeks. That is incredibly rare, but rare is not zero. So unfortunately, sad things sometimes do happen in pregnancy. Difficult things do happen in pregnancy. And we just need to be aware of that and recognize that. Again, not common, but it is a possibility. Okay, so there you have it. Please share this podcast with a friend. Also, subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening to me right now. You can leave a review in Apple Podcasts. I'd love to hear what you think about the show. You can also let me know what you think about the show by sending me a DM on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at Dr. Nicole Rankins. And I would love to see you in my next live birth plan class, Make a Birth Plan the Right Way. Grab your spot at drnicolerankins.com/birthplan. So that is it for this episode. Do come on back next week and remember that you deserve a beautiful pregnancy and birth.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.